Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in His love divine. For every promise in the book is mine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in His love divine. For every promise in the book is mine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in His love divine. For every promise in the book is mine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine.
Lord Almighty, hallelujah. Glory, glory. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. You, my God and King, praise your holy name. Hallelujah. Glory to you, my God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. Let's sing chorus number 198. Jesus, we crown you with praise.
Jesus, we crown you with praise. Jesus, we crown you with praise.
Love.
Worship you, adore you, my God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name, Jesus. Glory, praise, and honor. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise him. Let's sing chorus number 99, I am standing upon the rock.
I am standing upon the rock. It's firm foundation that cannot fall. My soul does trust him. I have all confidence, for I am standing upon the rock. I am standing upon the rock. It's firm foundation that cannot fall. Soul does trust him. I have all confidence, for I am standing upon the rock. I am standing upon the rock. It's firm foundation that cannot fall. My soul does trust him. I have all confidence, for I am standing upon the rock. He's never failed me yet. He's never failed me yet. Jesus Christ has never failed me yet. And everywhere I go, I want the world to know that Jesus Christ has never failed me yet. He's never failed me yet. He's never failed me yet. Jesus Christ has never failed me yet. Everywhere I go, I want the world to know that Jesus Christ has never failed me yet. He's never failed me yet. He's never failed me yet. Jesus Christ has never failed me yet. Everywhere I go, Christ has never failed me yet. He's never failed me yet. He's never failed me yet. Jesus Christ has never failed me yet. Everywhere I go, I want the world to know that Jesus Christ has never failed me yet.
Praise your holy name. Love you, my God. Bless you, God Almighty. Worship you. Thank you for your word, your promises, O Lord. Glory, my God and King. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. Let's sing chorus number 332, When You've Tried Everything.
When you've tried everything, everything has failed, try Jesus. When you've tried everything, everything has failed, try Jesus. He'll be your dearest friend, go with you to the end. So when you've tried everything, everything has failed, try Jesus. When you've tried everything, everything has failed, try Jesus. When you've tried everything, everything has failed, try Jesus. tried everything. Everything has failed. Try Jesus. When you've tried everything, everything has failed. Try Jesus. He'll be love you, my God. Depend on you, Lord. Worship you, adore you. Hallelujah, my God and King. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing chorus number 343. You can have a song in your heart. You can have a song in your heart in the night. After every trial, after every mile, anyone can sing when the sun is shining bright. But you need a song in your heart in the night. You can have a song in your heart in the night. After every trial, after every mile, anyone could sing when the sun is shining bright. But you need a song in your heart in the night. You can have a song in your heart in the night. After every trial, after every mile, anyone can sing when the sun is shining bright. But you need a song in your heart in the night. You can have a song in your heart in the night. After every trial, after every mile, anyone can sing when the sun is shining bright. But you need a song in your heart in the night. Glory and honor to you, Jesus. Thank you, my Lord and God. Thank you, Jesus Almighty. Bless your name. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. Amen. Praise Him. Jocelyn will come up. We have a song for you tonight.
Just want to thank God that we could all be here tonight and to worship Him. And this song that we're going to sing is called Giants Fall. And it's just about, you know, whatever you might have in your life, God gives you the ability to stand up with His power to Him and to whatever giants you might have in your life. It talks about miracles can happen, anything is possible. And there's a line that says, the stones in your hand might be small, but watch the giants fall. So, like, the things that are going on in this world today, like, get, like, pretty worried about it. But we just keep praying. I know that God is with us, and I just ask you to worship with us as we sing. Too small, it's too hard.
Throwing water on that spark, living deep inside your heart. Oceans of reasons, things you're not seeing. Oh, maybe they don't know what you know. You're not alone. Don't you be afraid of giants in your way. With God, you know that anything's possible. So step into the fight. He's
is right there by your side. The stones inside your hand might be small. Watch the giants fall. Watch the giants fall.
We could really live like this. Can't you imagine it? So bold, so brave, with childlike faith, miracles could happen, mountains would start moving. So whatever you might face, so
don't you be afraid of giants in your way. With God, you know that anything's possible. So step into the fight. He's right there by your side. The stones inside your hand might be small. Watch the giants fall. Watch the giants fall.
We could really live like this. Can't you imagine it? So bold, so brave, with childlike faith. Miracles can happen, mountains will start moving. So whatever you might face, so
don't you be afraid of giants in your way. With God you know that anything's possible. So step into the fight. He's right there by your side. The stones inside your hand might be small. Watch the giants fall. Watch the giants fall. Ask and believe. You're gonna see the hand of God in every little thing. Don't you be afraid of giants in your way. With God, you know that anything's possible. So step into the fight. He's right there by your side. The stones inside your hand might be small. Watch the giants fall. Watch the giants fall. Miracles can happen. Anything is possible. Watch the giants fall.
Thank you, Lord Almighty, glory, my Lord and King. Praise you, love and adore you, my God and King. Bless your name, Jesus.
I also want to thank God just for having this place to come to together. And like Claudette said earlier, that we can, what a privilege we can come here in the middle of the week and on Sunday and on Friday, and I love him so much. I thank him also, like that song we just sang, that we can depend on God in all things. We can lean on him. He's going to take care of the things that are too big for us, takes care of the big and small things. But I just love my God that we can lean on him, we can depend on him. He helps us every step of the way if we look toward him. And I love him tonight. I love this place. I love this spirit that we feel here, and just praise him tonight. Sing our last chorus tonight before we hear from the Word of God. 305, Thou Art My God.
Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth.
mercy endureth forever. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, he is good, and his mercy endureth forever.
Amen, Lord, again, bless your name. Hallelujah, Jesus, love you. Glory and honor to you, my Lord. Praise you, my God.
Praise God. Will you stand for the word of God tonight?
You may be seated. Praise God. I'm very thankful to be here tonight on a beautiful Wednesday in Soldotna, Alaska. And I have a couple announcements. Mark your calendars. Men's brunch is Saturday, March 26th at 11 a.m. And there's a sign-up list on the front door. If you can be there, and we do need a head count, and you can look forward to the good food and fellowship, because we just had ours last Saturday, and it was wonderful. It was a very beautiful ladies' lunch, and I really miss getting together with the ladies like we used to, and then it was wonderful to have so many young people, new young people that it was their first time to be at our ladies' lunch, and it was a special time. It was a time of all I felt was love and unity, and I thank God for that. And for all the ladies that worked to decorate that, it was, I did not know about aprons, but I found out about aprons, and it was very interesting, the history of aprons. And I hope that the men's brunch gets to experience something similar just on the men's side. And the other announcement is that mark your calendars for our next potluck game night. And that's going to be April 3rd after service on Sunday. And for those of you that were there last time, we had a great time. It was really a lot of fun. So two dates, March 26th, men's brunch, and April 3rd, the potluck game night. So it's Wednesday night, our Bible study in the book of Acts. And welcome to everyone here and to everyone that's online. Question tonight is question 8. And we're in Acts chapter 13. And this is off of verses 6 through 12. And the question, I'll read the question first and then the verses of scripture. The question is, are there other examples like this where the power of God is used to show not only the goodness of God, but the severity of God? And going to Acts chapter 13, and verses 6 through 12. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now, can you visualize these scriptures here? I can imagine that deputy was astonished at what he just saw. So the question is, are there other examples similar to this in the Word of God where the power of God is used to show the goodness and the severity of God? And I'm sure everyone here has experienced this for themselves, because we all experience the goodness and we all experience the severity of God. Whether you realize it or not, we all do. Okay, anyone come up with scriptures and what you found? Jocelyn?
Okay, I'll start with Romans 11:22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God unto them which fell severity, but towards thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. And I looked into Genesis, the beginning here. Let's see. Genesis 3:17, God talking to Adam and Eve. They had it really good in the Garden of Eden, but obviously they didn't do the right thing, and they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God said in Genesis 3:17, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and eaten of the tree of which I command thee, saying, thou shalt not eat. Cursed is the ground of thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field, and from the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art. And then Eve was cursed with the great pain of childbirth. So I was thinking that was severity. And I looked up severity, and it says strictness and sternness, toughness, harshness, as in the severity of a reprimand. So they were definitely punished for their sin there. I don't want to take everybody else's scriptures.
No, that was very good. Thank you. Rick?
So I also, lots of examples in the Old Testament. I think of Elijah and the prophets of Baal, and just how God fights the battles of his. And if you're fighting against God, you're on the losing side. So the severity of those that, so those prophets of Baal, Elijah, they were the ones that were mocking and cutting themselves, and it's in Kings 18:25-38. But Elijah's sacrifice, he had poured water all about it, and God came down and consumed the whole thing. And then those false prophets of Baal were killed also. I also think of Elisha And he was mocked by kids that came out. There were 42 kids that came out. That's also in 2 Kings 2, mocking a prophet of God. And Elijah called on God, and two bears came out of the woods and tore them up. I think of Korah, and he gathered against Moses. And so the earth swallowed him up. That's in Numbers chapter 16. And also the plagues and the Passover, especially the last plague, the ones that obeyed and did the things that God told them to do and painted over their doorway, that goodness to them, but if you didn't obey God, then all the firstborn were lost. So a lot of scriptures. There are a lot of scriptures of obey God, or if you disobey God, you have to suffer some very, the severity, the consequences.
Amen. And all of those are a Bible study in themselves. Anyone else? James?
I found one of the best verses I think we could find while we were studying last night. It's in Matthew 22. It's 1 through 14 for the whole parable, but to save time, I'm just going to start at 8. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him out into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. And I think this is like a really core verse or chapter for us all to know. And I just think it was really good because even though the ones he originally bid into the wedding didn't come, it left the rest of us open to come to him and receive his spirit and be a part of that. And then you see the severity too of, them, what happened to them when they didn't listen to him and came.
Exactly. I'm glad that so many people studied. Praise God. Anyone else? Dennis? We're going to cover all sides of the church. And we have a big church.
Is in Acts where Saul was persecuting the Jews and on the road to Damascus, God blinded him, and after he had a change of heart and he got his sight back and became a man of God.
A great man of God. Thank you. Sue?
Thinking of the goodness and severity of God puts me in mind of the story of the prodigal son, where there were two brothers, and they both had a very comfortable life, and things were good. And one of them decided, he looked out into the world and thought that was going to be a better deal for him. So he said to his dad, give me my inheritance. I'm going to go live out there. And the father didn't fight him. He did. As hard as that would have been, he set him free. He gave him his money, and he went out in the world, and he was so downtrodden that he woke up one day and realized that even the servants, even the lowest of the low in my father's house are living better than this. And it says when he came into himself, which he did, had an awakening, an epiphany, and decided to go home. And he didn't know what was going to greet him. He didn't know that he'd be received, and the father killed the fatted calf, and you know, threw a robe around him and welcomed him back. And so he had a taste of the goodness and the severity and was able to come back from it. But it doesn't always happen that way, that you go out and experience in the world and God calls you and reaches you, doesn't want that severity. And if you'll get it together, turn back to your roots and know what it is that God offers you, that goodness is available again out of his mercy.
Amen. Good example. Ron Larson.
The one that I like to go back to is the one in Daniel. And the king, Daniel had his belief in God, and he worshiped God and praised God in the way that he knew it needed to be done. And nothing was going to alter that. And the king was kind of tricked into signing a decree that anybody who didn't obey this decree would be cast into the lion's den. And obviously Daniel wasn't going to change his perspective on it. And the king obviously got tricked into signing this. And once he figured out what happened, they did put Daniel in there, but then the king, he actually prayed all night that, hey, don't let nothing happen to him. And the next morning he was okay, and the king turned on these guys that made him do the decree, and he had all of them put in the lion's den. And the outcome was different than that, so God definitely kept his hand on him, and he came through it okay.
Good example. Sherry?
I always remember the one about Moses when he didn't follow the directions that the Lord gave him. And after all the time that he had spent with the people, he wasn't allowed to go into the promised land. And I just think that's so heartbreaking. And that was in Numbers 27 through 8.
Amen. Anyone else? Tracy and Janie first, since you're going that direction.
Okay, so the one I found was in the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, when it starts in like chapter 18, where God is going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because there's a bunch of evil people there. And then Abraham goes and pleads to God. And he said, if there's like 50 righteous, will you still destroy it? If there's 40, if there's 30, if there's 20. And he got him down to 10. If there's just 10 righteous people, will you still destroy it? And he said, no, I won't destroy it for the sake of 10. And that's Genesis 18, 22 through 33. And then, so God sent his angels to Gomorrah. And then they couldn't get Lot out because he was just too scared to leave, and he was too scared to leave. And it says in Genesis 19, 15 through 16 that God took him by the hand and led him out before the city was destroyed. So you can see that God was merciful enough not just to like give him a chance, but he actually like drew him out of the city before he rained down his judgment.
Yes. Praise God. You're condensing Bible studies into what you studied, which is wonderful. Tracy?
One of the ones that I thought of was in 2 Samuel chapter 12, after David has committed adultery with Bathsheba and then has her husband Uriah killed. And God sends Nathan to him, and in verse 13, it says, and David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, and thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born of thee shall surely die. And we know that the child that was born of the adulterous relationship did die. So God forgave the sin, but there was a consequence to the sin.
Always a consequence of sin. You never know what it's going to be. Sometimes you do. Terry?
And there's the easy ones where Cain slew Abel, and he was cursed. Take this out. Thou art cursed from the earth, which thou hast opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee their strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. And then there was Noah. I thought somebody would surely get that one by now.
Somebody might.
But anyway, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart. So then he had Noah build an ark, and only 8 souls were saved on that. Noah, his wife, his 3 sons, and their wives. And then all the animals. Then after that, there was the Tower of Babel. Nimrod thought he was going to build a tower up to the heavens, and he could be a god and wouldn't have to depend on the Lord. So God confounded them, and that's where we get all the languages of the earth today. And I had another one. I can't remember now what it was. But anyway.
In other words, you can find this all throughout the Word of God. It's not just one instance. It's all throughout the Word of God. Anyone else, what you studied into, which I'm, praise God, you studied. And that's what's most important to God. All right. And you have many of them that I already have also. And it was hard to condense it down into a few examples, but your examples are wonderful, the ones that you shared. I want to start with the one that Terry just talked about in Genesis chapter 5 in verses 11 through 15. So turn to that. And this is in our Search for Truth Bible study that we're having once a month, where we are studying the dispensations of God. And we've learned that each dispensation has a specific plan that is laid out by God. And each dispensation states the blessings for obedience and the judgments for disobedience, or the goodness and the severity of God. So reading in Genesis chapter 5, verses 11 through 15. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. This was the first murder. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, no longer in the presence of God. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Now, and this is a dispensation of conscience. Cain kills his brother Abel out of jealousy and anger. Very human emotions. In verses 11 and 12, we can see the severity or the judgment of God against sin, against Cain's sin. But in verse 15, we can see the goodness and the mercy of God toward Cain, that he actually protected him by putting this mark on him. It doesn't say what it is. It doesn't it's not really important, or it would have said what it is. It's what has happened here to show that goodness and that severity of God. That's what's important. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 34, another example. Moses. In Deuteronomy chapter 34, reading verses 10 through 12, I want to first read this and then we'll read a little bit more about Moses. But this part here shows how great a prophet Moses was. Deuteronomy 34, starting at verse 10. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Nobody since Moses was as great as Moses. In all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. And we all know the story of Moses and the plagues. And it's a beautiful story, and it would be a wonderful Bible study to do at some time later on. But I just wanted to read these scriptures so that you can see what a great prophet Moses was. Then go up to Deuteronomy chapter 32 and reading verses 48 through 52. And this is what Sherry referenced, because even this great prophet of God had to answer for his disobedience to God. Deuteronomy chapter 32, starting at verse 48. And the Lord spake unto Moses that selfsame day, saying, Get thee up into this mountain, Abram, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho, and behold the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for a possession. And die in the mount whither thou goest up, and be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor, and was gathered unto his people. Because ye trespassed against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin, because you sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel. Yet thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go thither into the land which I give the children of Israel. Now, verse 51 tells us what Moses' sin was when he trespassed against God in front of all of Israel by disobeying God. And we see the severity or the judgment. Severity is judgment of God against sin. But in verse 52, we see the goodness of God. The goodness of God and where he took Moses and how Moses dies with God there. You can read the whole story, like Sherry said, in Numbers chapter 20 and verses 9 through 13 about Moses' sin or disobedience to God. So we're looking at two parts of God, not opposite, but two parts of God. We're looking at the goodness of God and the severity of God. We're looking at the mercy of God and the wrath of God. I'm just giving you different words, same thing. Looking at the tenderness of God and the toughness of God. I think Paul taught about tough love. We're looking at the salvation of God and the judgment of God. And we're looking at the friendship of God and the fierceness of God. Parts of God. For your reference later and for your study later, Deuteronomy chapter 28, it will line out the goodness and the severity or the judgments, which are called curse in the Old Testament, they're called curses of God in detail. And I encourage you to go read them because God spells it out. He spells it out in this chapter 28 in Deuteronomy, what the blessings are for obedience and what the judgments are for disobedience. Now I want to turn to the New Testament, and this is the scripture you already gave me in Romans chapter 11, verse 22. Because Paul teaches on this very subject, the goodness and the severity of God. Reading Romans chapter 11, verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. Now, the word behold, the very first word, is used over 1,000 times in the Bible. And that word means stop. Look at this. Think about this. When you see behold at the beginning of a sentence, that is why it's there. Look at this goodness and severity. Think about it. Who is your God? Do you understand this part of your God? And it says that them which fell receive severity. Well, how do they fall from God to receive such severity? In the same chapter, go up above to verses 20 and 21. Because it tells us how they fell. First, in reading in chapter Romans 11, verses 20 and 21. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded or haughty or think you're better than anybody, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, which are the Jewish people, take heed lest he also spare not thee. So just because you receive the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that that's it. I'm okay. I'm going to go. No, that's just the beginning of your walk with God. That's just the beginning, being filled with this Holy Spirit. Then you grow. And we brought this out at our ladies' luncheon. Then you are not conformed to this world, but you are renewing your mind. You're in a continual state of growth with God and his Spirit that leads you and guides you. Because of unbelief, it says that they fell, unbelief. And because of unbelief, they received severity or the righteous judgment of God. That's what severity is. It's the righteous judgment of God. Now, why? Now, I have a question for you. What does unbelief mean to you? Why would God say this? Because of your unbelief, you'll receive severity. What does that mean? You need to understand that. What does unbelief mean? Randy? Why would God say this? Unbelief.
Well, I think it was they knew the word of God, but they didn't believe that he would judge them for their sin, that he would, mainly, I guess they thought that his goodness would overcome all things, but we have to understand that we're offered redemption through his name, but not to continue in our sin, but to overcome sin.
Amen. Does someone else have some? Carrie? Oh, Sherry, and then Carrie.
Well, I was pretty much going to say what Randy said is, you know, you can know the word of God, and then you cannot believe that, you know, oh, God loves me so much that he's not going to, that's not going to happen to me. And that's not the, it's not the way it is.
Amen. We just studied this in our Search for Truth Bible study, how Satan came, the serpent came to Eve and said, well, God doesn't mean that. Taking the word of God and using it or manipulating it. Carrie?
Well, the scripture teaches that we serve God by faith. And it's faith of things that we don't see, the unknown. But we, basically to me, it translates to lack of trust in God and belief in God, that he's going to do what he says he's going to do and gives us all the promises.
Amen. Faith. Faith. Paul, did you have your...
Yeah, I was just thinking about something that was said earlier and this here that was because of who we are. I mean, especially like God's leaders. That's why he was so harsh on Moses, because he was supposed to be an example to the people. And when you do that, you embarrass God. And we, as saints of God, if we go out in the world and we do this or that, we're embarrassing God. Because we have the truth. And when we do that, just because the clouds don't open up and a big lightning bolt comes out, people don't have the fear of God that they used to have. And when they used to do things in the old day, he would deal with it real harshly. And it says, and fear came upon all the people. And we're in a grace period now, but there's still a recompense for anything we do that's not right.
Amen. There's still the goodness and severity of God. That hasn't gone away, and it's not going to go away. Ron?
I think the word complacency could fit in there pretty well. I mean, after you serve God for so many years, you can use the term, me and God got our fiddles tuned, and if you get deceived like that or think, man, I got it made here now, I've been doing this long enough, and you can never let your guard down because Satan will jump right in there and snatch you away.
You mean you might get high-minded like Paul said? Okay, anyone else? I don't want to miss anyone. John, Rochette?
Yeah, I just remember we were taught in the past that God is very loving and very merciful, but he does have a limit. He allows things to go so far before he has his judgment on us.
Amen. Thank you, John. Okay, so unbelief brings disobedience to God and his word. Simple as that. Unbelief brings disobedience to God. You don't believe that God is going to do what his word says. That's why you disobey. Or maybe you think God doesn't see that, but God sees everything. And when God's goodness does not lead to repentance, then his judgment will come. Because that is who God is. Every dispensation from the beginning of the word of God has a plan laid out by God. And every plan is good because God does not do anything that is not good or righteous. And the plan states what God requires from his people. Every plan. That plan is always for our good, to protect us, to guide us in our everyday lives. And the plan also states what will happen if you choose disobedience to God's word. It's not a mystery. Romans 11, 22, behold, stop, look at this. Look at who your God is, how he deals with mankind, his creation, and why he deals with mankind. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verses 8 through 15. This is why God keeps dealing with mankind, his creation. And he's been dealing with mankind for, 6,000 some years? And he will continue until the catching away of the bride. Then that ends this dispensation that we live in, the dispensation of grace. Reading 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 15, starting with verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. I really love that scripture because it really gives me a picture of who God is. And don't forget, your God is the creator of all things, including time. Time. That's why it says, one day is as 1,000 years to God. Going on to verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, I really love this scripture, and I use this scripture a lot, because our God is long-suffering. That is why we are still here, God's people all over this world, waiting for any new souls that want this plan of salvation that is available in this sixth dispensation of grace that we live in. His plan for this dispensation is that all should come to repentance. And he laid it out. He laid out his plan for this dispensation in Acts, the second chapter, verses 38 and 39. And you should all know this scripture by heart. By heart. This is the plan of salvation. And it will not change, and it will be in effect until the catching away of the bride, the rapture. And the rapture is God's people that are living on this earth. It could be you or me. It could be more you, because I could be going home before you, because I'm older. We don't know. But it's definitely going to be this generation. The catching away of the bride. His people are called the bride. The bride. His people that are living overcoming lives because they choose to obey God's word and not follow the ways of the world. That's what makes you part of the bride. You are choosing to obey God's word. Going on to verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That hasn't happened yet. That's in the future. The day is going to come when God will get rid of all the sin on this earth. That hasn't happened yet. There's still sin all throughout this world. In verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? God's teachers will never stop teaching that God requires you to be godly. Godly, Christ-like, Christian, in your words and in your actions. I just read it. Verses 12 and 13. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. This hasn't happened. The new heaven and the new earth will not have any sin in it. Satan will no longer have access to the heavens, Satan and his followers. There will be no sin on that new heaven and that new earth. And you can read all about that in Revelations because it hasn't happened yet, but it's going to. Just like as in the days of Noah, when Noah built that ark for 100 years and nobody believed him, thought he was a little bit crazy, and he preached the gospel for that time to the people. And they had the opportunity to come into that protection, that ark. They chose not to. Today, we have Acts 2:38, the plan of salvation. That's our ark to come into. That's our place of safety. Having that Holy Spirit that's going to quicken you to take you out of this world. Claudette?
There's a scripture in Proverbs 1. I was going to read it. It's a scary scripture, but it's exactly what we're talking about right now. It's verse 26, and it says, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes. When fear cometh and desolation and destruction come as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they have hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of their own fruit, the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and prosperity of fools shall destroy him. But whosoever hearken unto me shall dwell safely and be quiet from fear of evil.
Amen. Says it all. Going on in verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, aren't we looking for that time when there is no more sin? I am. Be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. We look forward to that day, but we have to be found in peace, without spot, and blameless. In other words, no sin. That's what spots are, sin on your garment. We must be diligent to do our best for God. Do our best for God. That's all God expects from each one of us. He knows your abilities. I don't know your abilities, but he knows them. And he expects your best. Verse 15, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. The long suffering of our God is for salvation, salvation of souls, our souls and new souls. That's why God is long suffering and why we're still here in this world that is full of sin. We are protected here. We are. I mean, those of you that travel a lot see that much more than those of you that live here. And we live in a very protected environment here. So behold, stop, look and listen to who God is and why. Because God loves us and he's long-suffering with us. And that's only for our good. So behold, I really like that. Behold, know and understand the goodness and severity of God. Amen. Amen. That's what we're going to close with tonight. And have a precious time of prayer and your personal time with God. And praise God. We had someone get the Holy Ghost. Yay. I was so excited. I was like overjoyed. I was doing flip-flops inside when Janie told me that. I was just ecstatic to hear that. And I knew it. I knew it before she said it because I had the honor and privilege to pray with her that night before she went home. And the power was so great that it was like she had to take it home with her. You can't stop it. So I thank God for that, and I thank God for each one of you, and continue on in your prayer and studying, which has been wonderful. Praise God.
We invite you to find that place of prayer with our God tonight and to seek his perfect will, his working in your life. Just won't you come before him tonight and love him and see what he has for you. Let him lead and guide. This altar's open. Won't you come and love him tonight? Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Love you, adore you, I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Love you, adore you, bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Love you, adore you, bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, what a wonder. Heavenly Father, what a wonder you are. Lift us to God.
I found a savior.